So a little over a year ago, I had asked the congregation if there were any topics or questions or ideas that you had in terms of messages or sermons that you would like to hear from me. And Molly had told me about a tradition that Reverend McGrath had had many years ago, that every year in early November, he would preach a sermon called Come Before Winter, based on 2 Timothy 4:21. And so last November, I preached my version of a sermon on that topic, and it wasn't even on my mind this year. And then at the beginning of the week, when I was thinking about these four E's that I told you I would be preaching through in November, and the E, encourage, which is what we'll be looking at today, that passage came back to mind. Because last year as I studied it, I really kind of fell in love with it. And so this morning we're again going to be looking at actually a rather large section of 2 Timothy. I'll be reading chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 22. And as I do so, I really want to encourage you to listen to how much this is about encouragement. Both Paul encouraging Timothy with this letter, but also the way that Paul is looking for encouragement from Timothy. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Well up from within us, descend upon us and raise our awareness of your presence. For we know that you abide both within us and among us, that you are certainly in this place as you gather us this morning. We ask Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, that you speak to our hearts, that you transform my words so that they are yours, so that you, the living word, will bring to us that what each of our hearts needs to hear from you this morning. Father God, we thank you for these gifts. May you be glorified. We ask in Christ's strong name. Amen. Beginning with chapter 3, verse 10. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, and my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and my suffering and things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, and the Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must be aware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. In my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prissa and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained in Corinth. Trophimus I left in Miletus, and do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I wish everybody in the Bible was named Peter, John, and Mark. So as we've talked about the last few weeks, this month we're focusing our series of sermons on this idea of stewardship. But what's really been laid on my heart is to talk about stewarding our vision and our mission in ministry. Our vision for quite some time has been to transform lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Transforming lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And our mission, at least what we've been talking about here recently, and what I see is kind of this forward mission to moving into the future, is to encounter, equip, encourage, and engage. And my belief is that as we really begin to live into this vision and mission, that it will draw us to give of our time, talents, and treasures to this work, because we'll be drawn into the work of the Lord, and we'll be excited about supporting that with all that we are, with all that we have, with our lives and with our energy. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've talked about being a people who expect to encounter God, not just here when we gather and worship, but in our day-to-day lives, knowing that God is present in all things. And then last week, we talked about this call to equip the saints for ministry, and how loaded that calling really is as we seek to bring out the best of who you are, of who we are, to allow the Spirit to continue to transform us into all that we've been created and called to be. And so this morning we turn to this third E, encouragement. And I first just want to take a big picture look at the passages that I just read. And we saw that in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul is really seeking to encourage Timothy. This is someone that he's helped raise up in the faith, someone that he's mentored, and someone that he now wants to encourage in this letter, what was likely the last letter that Paul wrote. But then what I love about this passage is that early in chapter 4, there's a shift that takes place. And Paul goes from encouraging Timothy to actually seeking from Timothy encouragement. Gives him an update on where he is in life and basically says the end is near. And there's some things that I really need from you, could use from you to encourage me in my faith. And I love the image in this passage that Paul's not just the teacher and the mentor who's doing all of the encouraging, but even here, Paul humbles himself, expresses his needs and his desires, and asks for Timothy to encourage him. I believe this is a biblical picture of this theme of encouragement, that we as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in the faith, are called to encourage one another. To encourage one another. Hear these words from Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For I am longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. That's Paul's letter to the church in Rome. I long to come and be with you so that we can be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. In fact, most of the scripture references I found where it talks about this encouragement, it's talking about encouraging one another. That this is a main part of what we are to do and what we're called to is the body of Christ, to bring encouragement into one another's lives. And so I will look at several ways that I believe we're called to encourage one another, to try to answer the question how, both from this passage and from a few other texts that I'll be sharing with you. And so the first thing I would say is that we're to encourage one another through presence. Not presence with a T, although you're welcome to do that as well, but presence as in being with one another. And we see this in the passage that we just read. Paul is asking for Timothy to come and encourage him with his presence. Do your best to come to me soon. And he gives some context for that. He talks about all the people that have left for various reasons. Talks about people who were a part of his team, so to speak, but are now doing ministry in other areas. In other words, he had this group of folks that he was doing ministry with, and one by one, they've dwindled, some for good reasons and some for unfortunate reasons. But in the midst of that, I think Paul's feeling lonely. He's writing this from a prison, knowing that the end of his life is near, and he seeks to be encouraged by the presence of Timothy. And after he goes through all these verses, it's like he comes back to it and says, in case you didn't understand, Timothy, what I meant when I said, come as soon as you can, come before winter. Like, I need you here as soon as you can get here. And that'll be an encouragement to me. You see, we've talked a lot over the last several months about how we bear the presence of the Lord, the image of the Lord within us. And so when we seek to be present with other people, we truly do carry and draw them into the presence of God. That through our presence, we are being the presence of God to one another. And so we can encourage one another through presence, our presence and God's presence to others. I also believe we see here a call to encourage one another in practice. Encourage one another in practice. And if you picked it up in those first several verses that we read, Paul is encouraging Timothy, and he's doing it in a way that I believe he trained him. He says, look, you've heard and you've seen what I've told you to do and how I've told you to live. You've observed these things in me. Did you catch that? You've observed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my suffering. You've observed these things, Timothy. You've watched them in my life. You've seen how the Lord has met me in these things and how the Lord has brought me through these things. And now I want you to continue in what you've learned by doing these things. You've heard these teachings, you've seen in my life, now go and do likewise. Proclaim the message, be persistent, convince, rebuke, encourage. It's been modeled for you, Timothy. Now go and do it. And I can sense Paul's heart in this. It's almost like Paul saying, look, Timothy, I'm on my deathbed. I would love for you to come and be present with me and encourage me. And you know what else would encourage me is if I could know that you're out doing all that we've talked about you doing, that you're out living this calling, that you're pursuing Christ in the ministry of the kingdom. This would be an encouragement to me, Timothy. And I believe that's true of all of us, that we're encouraged by those that we see living out the faith, putting into practice the things that we've taught them. I mean, certainly this is true for those of us who are grandparents or parents or aunts and uncles or teachers or anyone who has any type of influence on someone. When we actually see them living out the things that we've tried to teach them and model for them, that's encouraging, right? And so I believe that we can encourage one another by practicing our faith, by putting into practice the things that we've learned, the things that have been modeled and will be modeled for us, the things that we've been created and called to do in our lives. It's an encouragement for Paul to see those who have come into the faith under his ministry actually living out that faith and stepping into the ministry to which they've been called. Well, this one's hard for me to add, but I think it's biblical, so I must be faithful and say that to encourage one another with patience. Encourage one another with patience. This comes up a couple times in the passage we read in chapter 3, verse 10. Paul talks about how he modeled patience to Timothy as a part of his ministry. And then he goes on and says, to convince and rebuke and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. Isn't that interesting? Because those things don't necessarily always go together. I mean, convince, rebuke, encourage, those are pretty strong words. And yet he says, do those things with patience in teaching. I believe that we're to encourage one another with patience for one another. Patience towards others in their faith journey. I think sometimes, and at least I'll wear this, it's true of me, that I look at others and I certainly look at myself and I think, oh, I should be so much farther along in this journey. So my life should look so much more like the life of Christ. Or, you know, they accepted Christ last week. What do you mean they don't look like an angel? You know, and we put these expectations on one another on how we're to live out our life and live out the teachings and live out the faith. And yet we forget that this is a journey and that this takes time. That we're to have faith that the Lord is at work. That we're to trust the process of the Holy Spirit. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't come along and we don't work. It says convince, rebuke, encourage. He just got done saying, proclaim the message, teach, do all these things. And yet have patience for one another. Because these things take time. And it truly is the Lord's timing in terms of how the Spirit works in others' lives to bring them along into the faith. Can we trust that? I'm so thankful for the people in my life who have shown me patience, who've extended to me grace and mercy along the way. Times when I've messed up, times when I failed, times when I've fallen short, times when I haven't lived out my faith in a way that I should have been based on what I know of the faith and what I'd been taught and what I'd learned and what I'd seen modeled. I'm so thankful for those people. And so I need to ask of myself, am I able to extend that same type of patience with others? That same type of patience with our community of faith? Can we encourage one another with patience in our faith journey? And I believe we're called to encourage one another with God's promises. Encourage one another with God's promises. I want to read again this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, because I think this is an important foundation for us. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. I love how it brings into today that theme we talked about last week, how we're to be equipped and we're to encourage one another in that equipping. Encouraging one another with God's promises means have an active understanding of all that's been given to us in the Word of God. That these scriptures are inspired. And that the promises that are given to us in these scriptures are true. All of them are made true in Jesus Christ. And so we can encourage one another with these scriptures, with these promises. Remind one another when we're down the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. When we're struggling to encourage one another with these promises that God will be with us and present and help us to persevere. Even in the darkest of times, we can encourage one another with the promises of what's next in this life, beyond this world, in the fullness of the kingdom, where we will abide with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 says, "For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and the sound of a God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." That passage comes in the midst of Paul talking about being encouraged in the midst of persecutions and trials and sufferings. And he's reminding them that all of us, both those who have gone before us and those who are still living upon Christ's return, will be called up. We'll greet the Lord in the clouds. I believe so that we can usher the kingdom and the throne back to earth so that the Lord will reside and take the place of the ruler of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But what does it say? It says, "And so we will be with the Lord forever." Reminding us of what's to come. And then says, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with this promise. There's times when I need to hear that. There's times when we all need to hear that. That these present troubles are light and momentary compared to the incredible, incredible blessings that are to come. Now, I would say that we need to allow these scriptures and these promises to encourage others, but we need to do so in a way that helps them experience these words so that we're not just shooting off Bible verses that we've learned as children and hoping that those impact someone's life when they read them, and maybe they do, but that we can actually live out these promises in a very real way. Now, here's what I mean by that. I have a good friend. His name's Nate. Now, if Nate sends me a text and says, "Hey, brother, I'm praying for you in the midst of this hard time," and includes a scripture passage, that is very meaningful to me. But the reason it's meaningful to me is because he's entered into darkness with me. He's entered into struggles with me. We spent time together in the presence of one another, struggling through things, struggling through the faith, encouraging one another. And because he's lived that out and because I've had that experience with him, those words carry a depth and a meaning to me in my life. And I hope the same's true when I seek to encourage him. But those words come very differently from someone that hasn't entered into my life in that way. They may come as words from the Lord and they may bring some encouragement, but they're not as deep. They're a little more empty. Because I'm receiving them from someone that hasn't entered into that depth. And so when I talk about encouraging with one another with God's promises, they need to be promises that are lived out in our lives. Promises that ring true in how we love and come alongside one another. So that we ourselves embody the very promises in scriptures we seek to use to bring encouragement. Now, some of you are going to be excited when you hear this next one. Encourage one another by provoking. Encourage one another by provoking. I want to give you a little bit different definition of provoking than what I think most of you have. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In its most simple sense, to provoke means to call forth, to stir up with purpose, to provide the needed stimulus, to get someone to do something. Now, we often, when we think of the word provoke, it's to provoke someone to anger, to stir them up, to get them riled up. But that's not how we're using it here. This says to provoke one another to love and good deeds, that there's a way that the community of faith can encourage one another, can provoke one another to help us live out the faith in a way that's fitting to our calling. And so there's part of our task as a community of faith is to provoke, to encourage one another by stirring another up for a good purpose, for a holy purpose. Not for my purpose, but for God's purpose. And trust me, I have to be careful about that as the pastor. As someone here that is seeking to bring leadership, I need to make sure that I'm not just trying to stir you up for my own purposes and my own desires, but guided by the Holy Spirit, is there a way that we can encourage, provoke one another towards what God desires to do in one another's lives and as the community of faith? And I would say the other side of that coin to remind us this meaning of provoking is that we encourage one another through peacekeeping. We encourage one another through peacekeeping. I got to tell you, my heart breaks when I see division among God's people. Some of you may know that I do some work with Healing Care Ministries, which is, their offices are here in the church. And over the last couple years, I've been helping to direct this program called Rooted. And it's a journey of spiritual formation. And we raise up different cohorts around the country and in Canada where people come together in a small group and they journey through this curriculum for about 10 months together. We provide teachings and small group, and they come together as small groups. And here's the point of what I'm telling you is that there have been so many examples where a facilitator has called me and said, well, we have an issue because these two people just figured out that they're in the same small group together and they haven't gotten along for the last 25 years. What do we do about this? Or two facilitators in the same region, both wanting to step into this program, who aren't on the same page, who aren't in unity anymore, that something had come into their relationship and they've been divided and they've not found reconciliation. And they want to know, how can we step forward in this? And it just breaks my heart because I keep thinking, we are the church. There must be a path towards peacemaking and reconciliation where we can learn to forgive, learn to step into these processes where the Holy Spirit can guide us towards unity and not division. And I also have to admit that I'm sensitive to hearing the stirrings that could cause that. Ephesians 4:29 is a good reminder to us. Let no evil talk come to your mouth. Now, when we first hear that, there's all kinds of things we could think that that could mean. Don't say this, don't say that, don't use these words. But listen to how this is being talked about here. But only what is useful for building up. Only what is useful for building up. As there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. In other words, if what's about to come out of my mouth isn't for the purpose of building up another believer, then it best be just kept in my mouth. That's how we encourage one another through peacekeeping. Making a commitment within the body of Christ that we're only going to say what needs to be said to build one another up. And we're going to set aside all the other stuff that comes from our own hearts and may not be useful for the community. Paul, again in his letter to Rome, says, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." To bring us into a unity, a togetherness, a harmony, where we can glorify God. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the passage we read, there's that little verse that says, bring Mark. Verse 11. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in ministry. You know, most scholars would tell you that things weren't always good between Paul and Mark. You see, there was a time when Mark set out on a missionary journey with them, and at some point in that time in that story, he's no longer with them. He doesn't continue on, and if you read a little bit about that, there seems to be some type of dissension that came up among them. And yet notice now, towards the end of Paul's life, he's able to say, you know that Mark who left us on that one missionary journey? Bring him because he's useful for ministry. There's something that's happened there where he's allowed that reconciliation to take place. He's sought peace in that relationship. I believe a great model for us. Now, when we look at all of these things, what I would say is Paul's really commending us to do life and faith together. That as a body of Christ, we're not meant to be isolated. We never were. In fact, I would say isolation in Christianity it was never meant to be. The two, they're like oil and water. That when we're called into Christ and when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we are by nature baptized into a community, become part of a family, and we're not meant to be out there alone, just hanging out on a mountain with me and Jesus, singing kumbayats, not the picture of the faith. But we're called to journey through this life together as a community, to encourage one another in our lives and our faith and in all things. A mission to encounter God, to expect that in our daily lives, that the Lord is with us and wants to guide us, to equip one another, to equip the saints in the ministry, and to encourage. I'm excited about the turn of the new year because we're going to step into something that we haven't really done, at least since I've been here, where we're going to invite you into what will likely be a year-long spiritual journey. And I've actually been given permission to take this rooted curriculum and bring it to you all as a congregation, where the teachings will occur here on Sunday mornings, but then we're going to get together as a community faith, at least you'll be invited to, once a month in a kind of a larger setting and work through some experiences together and share our faith journey with one another. And then we're going to form small groups and we're going to invite you at least twice a month to gather together as a small group to take what we're learning and to learn spiritual exercises and to practice them so that we can encourage one another in the faith. And as I thought about that this week, when I thought about this message, like all of these things we're talking about can occur in those contexts where we come together. We encourage each other with presence, with practicing, with provoking one another in a holy way, where we build each other up and strive towards peace. And I hope that you'll begin now, today, to pray about your involvement in that. And perhaps the Spirit will draw you in, and that we as a community of faith can take steps towards harmony and fellowship and unity in the faith. I want to give you just a few questions to reflect on for the next couple minutes. We won't take a long time doing this, but But I don't want this to just be a message where we say, you know, that was okay. I want you to leave here this morning with a specific plan. And so based on what we read, the first part of that was Paul seeking to encourage Timothy. And so I would encourage you to ask this question: who might God lay on my heart today to encourage? Who might God be laying on my heart today to encourage? And when we pray that, we can simply say, Holy Spirit, bring to mind a person that you want me to encourage this week. But then I want you to take a second step in that and say, in what way? And that may be something that comes a little bit later. It may come right away, but Lord, is there someone that you want me to encourage with my life in the next week? And in what way? And then I want you to give you permission to be a little selfish, because you see, Paul also wanted encouragement from Timothy. And so ask yourself a second question: how might I need to be encouraged? Holy Spirit, how might I need to be encouraged in my life and faith journey right now? And then by whom? And in what way? You see, I think Paul gives us permission in this text to seek someone out that we have a close relationship and say, look, I could really use some encouragement from you. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and tell you how. And I wonder if you'd pray about that. How might you need to be encouraged? By whom? And in what way? Let's take a few moments and go to the Lord and seek the Spirit's guidance. See how the Lord might want to speak to us in these few moments. Father God, our deepest desire is to find our encouragement from you. And so we do ask, Holy Spirit, that you meet those places in each of our hearts that desire to be encouraged. That you, Lord, would lift us up. Raise our awareness of your presence, your love, the grace and mercy that you have for each of us, Lord. And bring light into those places that we may currently be experiencing darkness. And yet, Lord, we also know that we are your representatives, your ambassadors, that we carry your image and your presence, and that part of your calling to us is to bring your encouragement to one another. And so give us strength to live into that calling, Lord. If you've spoken to our hearts in any way in these short few moments, if you've given us a name of someone that you want us to seek out and to encourage this week, give us the strength and the courage to do just that. And if there's someone from whom we feel we need to ask for encouragement, allow us to be humbled like Paul was, to speak out that request, to make known our desires, to have another person in the faith community come alongside us, aside us, and bring us some encouragement. For this is our calling, Lord, to be the community of faith that encourages one another in our journeys. So empower us, Holy Spirit, to do just that. May we continue to encourage one another through our worship and the time that we have remaining here this morning. Pour out your blessings, we ask, in Christ's strong name. Amen.